Okay, I confess that when I sat down with my Bible to begin preparing this sermon, my first thought was, what were they thinking? A capable wife who can find? Why on earth did the creators of the lectionary choose this passage? This year, in the Old Testament readings that are appointed for this long green season that stretches from the Feast of Pentecost in late spring until the first Sunday of Advent just after Thanksgiving, we began by hearing stories of King David and King Solomon. From there, the lectionary moves to wisdom literature, books of the Bible that offer instruction in righteous living and discerning God's ways. Well, that makes sense. King Solomon was renowned for his wisdom, and the book of Proverbs is attributed to Solomon. But over the course of the season, we read just a few selections from Proverbs. So, why this one? What does this ode to a capable wife have to do with us today? Surely, the women's movements of the late 20th century have moved us beyond such stereotypes. Or have they? Consider Anne Marie Slaughter, the first woman director of policy planning at the State Department. She left her position after just 2 years, because she realized that she could not juggle the demands of a high-level government job with the needs of her 2 teenaged sons. Even with a husband who had assumed the lion's share of parenting while she commuted from New Jersey to Washington every week. Her article in Atlantic Magazine this summer, "Why Women Still Can't Have It All," was widely quoted and commented upon. Slaughter explores the complexities of gender roles and expectations in the United States today. She remains surprisingly optimistic that we can create a better society for all, women as well as men. But, she says, change is needed. If women are ever to achieve real equality as leaders, then we have to stop accepting male behavior and male choices as the default and the ideal. We must insist on changing social policies and bending career tracks to accommodate women's choices as well as men's. So, how might this ode to a capable wife help us think about gender roles today? Let's start with the phrase capable wife. The word translated here as capable also means strong. When that same word is used to describe men, it frequently refers to military strength. The capable wife is a strong woman, one who is a hero or leader in her community. this strong woman is extraordinary. She undertakes the tasks required of women in her day, spinning, weaving, making clothes, providing food for her household. She is rather well-to-do with servants whose work she organizes, and she attends to her husband, does him good and not harm all the days of her life. But she does far more than these domestic chores that are the responsibility of women in her era. She is also an amazing businesswoman. Like merchant marine, she sails far away to gather food. She purchases land and plants vineyards. And she sells the clothing that she makes. She works from dawn until late in the evening, never sitting idle. Moreover, her concern is not only for her husband and her household, but also for the poor and the needy. In short, she's remarkable. She is a woman not apparently oppressed by patriarchy, her identity and her worth dependent upon her husband. She is self-directed, neither dependent upon nor deferential to her husband. Though she has children, she's not defined by her ability to give birth, nor is motherhood the focus of her life. Yet, this strong woman, I think, presents a nearly impossible standard of perfection that, frankly, makes me tired. Who could possibly live up to this model of womanhood? Perhaps, as we ponder this passage, it can be a kind of mirror for us, inviting us to examine the expectations placed upon women in this country today. Perhaps it can help us acknowledge and begin to address the challenges that women face as they struggle to raise a family and hold down a job. Perhaps the question for us is not so much a capable wife who can find, but rather a strong woman who can be. Perhaps, as we recognize the costs of trying to have it all, we might reimagine gender roles and expectations in ways that acknowledge and respect the dignity of every human being. Perhaps our reimagining might bring us closer to the vision the Apostle Paul presents in his letter to the Galatians. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus.